The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 17, texts number 17, 18, and 19. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on October 27th, 2017, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shraddhaya Ampadaya Taptam Tapa Tat Trividham Narai Apala Akankshibhi Yuktai Satvikam Parichakshate.
The verse written down anywhere? Everybody says, oh, we have books. Okay, good.
Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividang narai apala kangshibir yuktai satvikam parichakshyate. Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividang narai apalankangshibir yuktai satvikam parichakshate. Shraddhaya with faith, padaya transcendental, taptam executed, tapa austerity, tat that, trividham of three kinds, narai by men, apala akankshibi who are without desires for fruits, yuktai engaged, satvikam in the mode of goodness, parichakshate is called. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This threefold austerity, performed with transcendental faith by men not expecting material benefits, but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme, is called austerity in goodness. Been asked to speak on three verses, so I'll read the next two. Satkara mana pujartam tapodam bena chayvayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalamadruvam. Penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor, and worship is said to be in the mode of passion. It is neither stable nor permanent. Purport by His Divine Grace. Sometimes penance and austerity are executed to attract people and receive honor, respect, and worship from others. Persons in the mode of passion arrange to be worshipped by subordinates and let them wash their feet and offer riches. Such arrangements artificially made by the performance of penances are considered to be in the mode of passion. The results are temporary, they can be continued for some time, but they are not permanent. Text 19. Mudha grahenatmano yat padyakriyate tapaha padasyotsa danaratam va tattamasam mudahritam. Penance performed out of foolishness, with self-torture or to destroy or injure others, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Purport. There are instances of foolish penance undertaken by demons like Hiranyakashipu, who performed austere penances to become immortal and kill the demigods. He prayed to Brahma for such things, but ultimately he was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To undergo penances for something which is impossible is certainly in the mode of ignorance. Vandeha. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sajaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So there's different modes of nature. There's the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, the mode of goodness. Actually, we want to get rid of all these modes of nature. Mode of goodness won't take you back to Godhead either. There's austerity in the different modes, penance in the different modes. Everything can be done in different modes of nature. Meditation in the modes, speaking in the modes, eating in the modes, sleeping. Everything has its different varieties within the modes of nature. But the devotee, he learns to transcend the influence of the modes. The modes are always competing for supremacy. Sometimes one is in the mode of goodness. Sometimes one is in the mode of passion. Sometimes one is in the mode of ignorance. These modes are always just like waves in the ocean, tossing you this way and tossing you that way. We're being tossed this way and that way by the modes at every minute. Sometimes we're peaceful, sometimes we're all excited and passionate to do something, sometimes we're just moting out in the mode of ignorance, lazy and sleepy. So, devotee, by taking shelter of Krishna, by following the order of the bona fide spiritual master, transcends the influence of these modes of nature and fixes himself on the transcendental platform completely beyond this material existence. Instead of going up and down in the 8,400,000 species under these modes, the devotee gets out of the cycle of birth and death. In this world, people are trying to improve their positions here, thinking, well, if I can have that position, I'll be happy. But actually, no one's happy here. It's a prison, after all. It reminds me, one time I was arrested for the heinous crime of distributing Back to Godhead magazine. The police came. I was on a parking lot in Leesburg, Florida. The police came with a squad car. They put me under arrest. They took me to jail. A horrible criminal distributing Back to Godhead magazine, you see. So I was there in my cell, locked in my cell, but there were certain prisoners who had special privileges. They were called trustees. They were allowed to walk up and down the cell block. They weren't locked in a cell. They were free to go up and down and talk to each of us. They could go from cell to cell and chat with all the different prisoners, you see. So they had a different mode, you see, but they were still in the prison. They were still locked in. I wrote a little essay when I was in that jail cell. It was called, "Which Side of the Bars Are You On?" So that I was seeing that actually Krishna consciousness is the liberated position, you understand? If you're Krishna conscious, you're liberated. If you're not Krishna conscious, you're in jail. So they have a saying in English called "behind the bars." If somebody's locked up in the jail, he's behind the bars. But I was saying actually the whole material world is behind the bars and I was liberated, you see.
I was on the liberated side, and the whole material world was behind the bars. You see, that's how I was realizing, you see. Because the fact is, when you actually take shelter of Krishna, when you fully surrender to the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, that you dovetail your every thought, your every word, your every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, with Krishna and Guru, trying to always please your spiritual master at every minute. Even the most subtle thoughts within the brain, you learn how to regulate every single thought that's going through your brain. When you do that, you're beyond the moat. The moat can't touch you. You're not being whipped. You're not being pinched. Not being pushed. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Don't let the modes get you. Come beyond the modes, you see. I found, if I get sleepy, I found something that works. You just kind of, I just tap on the back of my neck, you know. It stimulates the brain. I just tap on the back. Instead of standing up, I just go like this. I can tap on the back of my neck. It's a good little trick. When you get really tired, you just go like that. It stimulates the brain. It helps you wake up. Tap, 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 tap. Thing is, we are being influenced by the modes of them. But if we realize, no matter what you may do within this material world, you can never be happy here. Even if you become Lord Brahma by dint of great penance and austerities, you still can never be happy. This material world is a miserable place. This word, English word miser, is very interesting. Miser means miserable, you see. Miser, one who wants to enjoy the fruits of his actions. He wants to accumulate for himself. You see, he doesn't want to give, he wants to take only. A miser means miserable. So we want to not be miserable, we cannot be miserly. Instead of taking, we have to be givers. There's many takers, you see. We have to be givers. Da means give. Jasho da. You see. You see. Jashoda means one who gives fame. You see. So we have to learn how to be givers, not takers. You see. How can I give my heart to Krishna? How can I give my heart to my guru? How can I give my heart to the devotees? How can I give my life to deliver the fallen souls of this world? You know what Prabhupada told us? He said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Wow, the whole world, Prabhupada? He said, the whole world, deliver the whole world. We're supposed to make a spiritual revolution on this planet that everybody is Krishna conscious. Everybody, you see. We have a lot of work to do. We're supposed to Krishnize the entire universe, actually. So we better purify ourselves. An interesting quote from Prabhupada in this connection. He says, if one becomes a pure chanter of the holy names, if he can chant the holy name of the Lord without any offense, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole universe takes up Krishna consciousness. So we, in other words, it's a battle against Maya, both within and without. You understand? Bahir nasinga hridaye nasinga, within and without, you see. The more you purify your own heart by learning how to chant offenselessly, the more you can do that, the more you will actually have a spiritualizing effect on the entire universe. That's pretty powerful stuff. And that's what Prabhupada teaches in his books. So we should be very active to give Krishna to the suffering souls of this world and be very active to give Krishna to ourselves also. The pure Krishna bhakti, you see. The fact is, we're neophyte devotees. We're still caught up in the modes of nature. We're still hankering for different sorts of material sense gratification, subtle or gross. That's a fact. It's a fact. We're still suffering the influence of these modes of nature. But if we will endeavor to get free of this contact, begging Krishna, my dear Krishna, please bless me, I can become your pure devotee. please help me get free from these modes. Please save me. Intensely praying. And there's that wonderful prayer for praying for deliverance. What is that prayer? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And there's many other prayers too, given in the books. The Shikshastakam is there. So many wonderful prayers. Prabhupada's prayers upon his arrival prayer when he arrived in the U.S. We can study all these prayers and understand what is the mood of how these pure devotees pray. You see, we have to learn how to mold our thought patterns so they're pure. Not that I'm, you know, meditating on girls or boys or whatever people do meditate on, you know. We have to learn how to purify the heart, how to purify the consciousness. And it may seem a little dry in the beginning, you see. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita. Happiness in the mode of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. Happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. And happiness in the mode of ignorance is poison in the beginning and poison in the end. So we have a tendency to go after passionate happiness, you see? A combination of man and woman, for example, or, you know, gratifying the tongue, over-gratifying the tongue, different things, you see? We have a tendency to go after happiness in the mode of passion. But that always leads to misery. Now, the really cool thing is transcendental happiness is nectar in the beginning and nectar at the end. But even if we're not there yet, at least we can go after happiness in the mode of goodness. You know, I'm chanting japa and I don't really feel like it. I just want to take a nap. I just want to space out on something. But because my spiritual master has ordered me, I must chant. So therefore, I'm doing it out of duty. And it's not so nectarian, but if you accept that as a duty, even though a duty is not always pleasant, if you accept the duty of regularly chanting, following the regulated principles, that which in the beginning, which may seem a little dry, a little austere, becomes sweeter than the sweetest honey in due course of time. In other words, by that chanting, you attain the transcendental platform beyond the mode of goodness. As we sometimes say, chanting is enchanting. In the beginning, we're not enchanted by the chanting, but if you keep chanting, 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 you will gradually become completely enchanted by the chanting. And that's a lifetime pursuit. How to become enchanted by the two syllables, Krishna. You know Rupa Goswami's prayer in this connection? He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, there's so much nectar oozing out of those syllables that my one little mouth just isn't big enough to capture all that nectar. Therefore, I need millions of mouths. And when those syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar. I need billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when Krishna enters the core of my heart, I'm completely stunned. I'm paralyzed in a state of transcendental bliss. Can you imagine his state of consciousness? All he had to do was say the word Krishna one time, and that's what he felt like. Can you understand the ecstasies of these great devotees? We're not there. We're not there. But we can get there. By their mercy, by their kindness, we can achieve that position. Where we actually have eruptions of ecstasy within our heart just by saying, Krishna, 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 Krishna. So this is pretty revolutionary stuff. This chanting can solve all the problems of the world. It can bring perfect peace and happiness. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvam shantam richtiti. Krishna says, one who knows me is the supreme owner, the supreme enjoyer and the best friend of all living entities can have peace. So we can simply introduce this peace formula to the world, we'll have a revolution on this planet. I've seen the leaders actually appreciate this concept. I was formerly a singer-songwriter, so I wrote a little song based on that, the peace formula from the Bhagavad Gita. How if we recognize the supreme owner, supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer, and best friend, there'll be world peace. I sent my lyrics off to President Obama, President of the United States at the time, and he very much appreciated it. He appreciated it. He said, I want you to know I'm listening. And I lyrics that said, listen here, all you world leaders, there's one thing you must understand. There's a supreme owner over everything. I mean, in that way, I was pointing to the leaders, and he told me, I want you to know I'm listening. So this philosophy, we present it nicely. We can actually appeal to these leaders. We actually can appeal to them. We have to learn how to present our philosophy in such a way that these people of the world will appreciate it. You see? The fact is, we can actually capture the leaders on this planet with this philosophy. If we ourselves practice it very sincerely, very purely, Krishna will empower us that we can preach to these leaders in politics, in the entertainment field, in the business field, in the educational field, you see. We can actually impact all these people in every sphere of activity. And we can actually bring about a revolution on this planet. Prabhupada told us, if even 1% accept, there'll be world peace. And then he said, even if less than 1% accept us, there'll be world peace. So I did a little math, and that's 50 million. That's all we need is 50 million people who accept the validity of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Who accept it. Yes, this is the knowledge. This is the knowledge that can actually make life perfect. If we just get 50 million people, it's all we need. And then world history will change. It'll be the biggest paradigm shift that's ever happened in the history of the universe. By Prabhupada's mercy, you see. So we should be very, very eager to become pure in every thought, in every word, in every deed, in all time, places, and circumstances. And we should be very, very eager to revolutionize this planet by attracting as many people as possible to read these books, to understand these books, and to follow these books. If we simply, even if we can't revolutionize the world, at least we can revolutionize ourselves. You see? Prabhupada explains in his purport, a devotee of the Lord is always thinking and planning how he can deliver all the fallen conditioned souls back to home, back to Godhead. That is the mood of a Vaishnava. He's thinking, how can I save every one of these fallen souls in this world? That is his life. That is his mood. That is his passion. How can I save every single living entity in this world? Prabhupada explains this is his mood. Then Prabhupada says, even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed. Maybe I won't even make one devotee, but at least by that mood, I will become a pure devotee. You understand? So I may not be successful in, you know, attracting 5,000 people to join the movement, but at least by that mood of wanting to make devotees, wanting to make devotees, wanting to make devotees, passionate, I must make devotees to save these poor people, you see. That meditation will make me perfect, at least, you see. Prabhupada says, and even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and anybody who follows him will also become perfect. So each one of us should have that revolutionary mood. Save the world mood. Every one of us should have that. Doesn't matter. Man, woman, white, black, old, young, walking with a cane in a wheelchair. Doesn't matter what our position is. Every single devotee should have that save the world mood. My goal in life is to make a revolution on this planet. You see, I want to revolutionize this planet. This is the order of Prabhupada. You see, deliver the world. It's an order he gave us. So that mood will guarantee that we become liberated. And anybody that we can attract, they'll also become liberated, you see. But it's interesting to note, Prabhupada said this movement will go down in history for having delivered this world in its darkest hour of despair. That's interesting. What is the darkest hour of despair? Have we hit it yet, or is it going to get worse? The way the history is going, it looks like it's getting worse and worse and worse. I don't know if we've hit the bottom yet, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. What's happening? Now I just found, as a U.S. citizen flying back to the U.S., I have to go through all the heavy interrogation just to go back to the U.S. I just saw in the news. Where are you coming from? Why did you travel? What's your itinerary? Because they think I might be a terrorist coming back to my own country, you see. So I'm getting ready in London, prepared for a big interrogation when I get my flight from London back to Austin in a couple of weeks. This is just an example. Things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse, becoming more and more hellish on this planet, more and more of a nightmare. But Prabhupada said this movement will save this world in its darkest hour of despair. So there's great hope. I don't know if it'll happen in our lifetimes, but within this 10,000 year period that began 500 years ago, there will be a complete inundation of this world with Krishna Bhakti, Prabhupada explains. We may not see it in our lifetimes, Prabhus and Matajis, but the fact is, we're planting the seeds for it, if nothing else. The complete global spiritual revolution. So we're the pioneers in the pioneering days. Of course, we hear about I'm really envious of those boys and girls who were 26 Second Avenue. There was a few of them left. Gargamuni Prabhu was here in Vrindavan. He was one of the original 26 Avenue boys. I always lament I joined too late, 71. I was such a fool, I had an opportunity to join in 69. I didn't take him. Our Bhakti Madhurya Govinda Maharaj, she was a brahmachari. He was preaching to me in Berkeley. I wouldn't take it. I was too puffed up, you see. I had to get smashed, heavily smashed by material nature, become more humble, you see. Sometimes when we get smashed, we don't feel good. You know, we go through all kinds of difficulties. But actually, you know, those difficulties are the greatest blessing. Did you know that? Difficulties are the greatest blessing. Confirmed by Kunti Devi. She says, let there be more and more difficulties. Because when there's difficulties, all I can do is see you, my Lord. And when I see you, I no longer see birth and death. So for a devotee in that mood of Kunti, and we can adopt that mood, there's no such thing as a difficulty. I went through a heavy disease in my body two or three months ago. Sciatica. Horrible. My disc popped out from my vertebra and it pinched the nerve going down my left leg. It was horrible agony. Sciatica, they call it. I couldn't even move. I was in great pain. Even laying in the bed, I was in great pain from sciatica. And it was so bad, I was thinking about ending my life. I mean, it was really horrible pain, horrible thoughts going through my brain. But then I pulled out of it. I remember in Queen Kunti. And I said, Krishna, please give me more difficulty. Please, Krishna, give me more and more difficulty. As soon as I did that, the anxiety was gone. And I got over it. I'm practically normal again now. No surgery, just some exercises. No surgery. Practically, I'm normal again. I completely got over it. But when it was so bad, I felt like dying, I said, Krishna, now give me more difficulty. More difficulty. More difficulty. It's amazing. Just try. The next time you're absolutely devastated by some horrible situation, say, Krishna, please give me more difficulty. Try it. I told my disciple, Bhajani, he said, Gurudev, I can't do that. But actually, it's easy to do. You just say it. Just try it. The next time you're absolutely devastated by a horrible, nightmarish situation, just say, Krishna, please give me more difficulty. Just try it. You'll be amazed. It's a mystical thing. The whole world changes like that. The whole world changes and within an instant. If you just pray that way, just try it the next time you're devastated. Krishna, give me more difficulties. It really works. I guarantee you, it works. Or your money, double your money back. No, it does work. So anyway, we are supposed to end at 6, and we have a few minutes left. There's some questions I can try to answer them. If not, I'll just keep talking, but there may be some questions. Anybody have any questions? There's a question back there. I may have to have someone repeat it because I'm a little bit deaf, so go ahead and we'll try. Okay, now what is the question?
When we are disagreeing with Bhagavad Gita, we are being asked so many times that among all the verses of Bhagavad Gita,
among so many additional Gitas in the market, why should one read Bhagavad Gita as a verse?
While disagreeing with Bhagavad Gita, he is being asked, there are so many editions of Bhagavad Gita, why Bhagavad Gita as it is the one we should read?
Yes. Why this edition of Bhagavad Gita? What is very commonly done in the other editions is that the translator will add his own ideas. Just like there's a very famous translation of the Gita here in India, the Dr. Radhakrishnan's Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, when Krishna says surrender to me, he says, it's not to Krishna. He says, no, it's not to Krishna that you should surrender, but to the unborn, unmanifest. They take the words of Krishna and they twist them and put their own idea. This Bhagavad Gita is Bhagavad Gita as it is. When Krishna says surrender to me, it's translated surrender to me, not surrender to something else. And the proof of the potency of this edition is that the other editions are not making devotees of Krishna. This edition is making hundreds of thousands of devotees of Krishna all over the world. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Okay? You understand? Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, let me get a repeat.
In the beginning there were so many difficulties, but now it seems that there are less difficulties, and the devotees seem to enjoy mood.
Well, if you're feeling it's getting too easy, go out somewhere and and open up a new part of the world to Krishna consciousness. Be a pioneer. You're feeling too comfy back here at the headquarters. Go out in the field and start a new project somewhere. Be a pioneer. Yeah. Next. And here's a lady with a question. What's the difference between good sattvic austerity and transcendental austerity? Yeah. Well, one example is merging in the attempt to merge into Brahman is considered austerity in the mode of goodness. And to surrender to Krishna is austerity in the mode of transcendental to the modes of nature. Those who want to be like a Mayavadi sannyasi, for example, you see. A strict Mayavadi sannyasi, that's considered austerity in the mode of goodness. Compared to a devotee, is a transcendental to the modes. That's a good example. Or somebody who wants to open hospitals, do welfare activities, that's another example. Feeding the poor, all these activities of good. feeding the poor unoffered food, you could say it's austerity in the mode of goodness. Feeding prasadam is transcendental to the modes. It's like there's vegetarian food relief organizations, but there's not prasadam. So that you could say it's austerity in the mode of goodness. But prasadam distribution is transcendental. Austerity, transcendental austerity. Okay. Next. All right, this devotee here.
The second
this is we're talking about 17, 18?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and this is the verse or the purport?
Yes. It's the mode of passion.
The mode of passion is described, yes.
It's performed on mode of passion.
So what is the question? What's the question?
Penance.
Penance in the mode of passion, that's right.
Yes. But the Dhruv Maharaj, when he did tapas, he expects something better than his Brahma. It's a mode of passion.
He was also doing it in the mode of passion. That's a fact. But because he approached Vishnu for it, he got purified. He just happened to, with his material desire, he just happened to approach Vishnu instead of Shiva or Brahma or someone else. That was his good fortune. His mother advised him that you approach Vishnu. Because of that good advice, even though his penance was in the mud of passion, it became transcendental because of, he actually, when he saw Vishnu, he said, I was hankering after some broken pieces of glass, but now I've achieved the rarest gem. You see? That was the purifying effect of concocting Prishna Garba, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he was doing penance in the mode of passion, isn't it? Good point. Next. Yes, Ahankar Prabhu. Prabhupada describes it, your heart is filled with material desires, but you come in contact with Krishna, they go away. That's right. That's right.
Prabhupada gives the example of the gopis and Dhruva Maharaj also.
Yeah, that's right. That's the fact. When you come in contact with Krishna, all your desires are satisfied. So there was another, yes, Prabhu. How to remember the other souls are suffering? That's called Shastra Chakshus. If you don't have the vision to see that the suffering people, that means you yourself is caught up in the mode still. That's one thing. You're not able, you should be able to see what's described in the scriptures. If you're not seeing that, that means you're in the modes. You're still polluted by the modes of nature. So you need to develop your ability to see through the eyes of Shastra by purified chanting, by sincere service, and by study. We have to always see through the eyes of the scripture. Our material vision is very imperfect. We don't see things perfectly. We have to see through the eyes of the scripture, through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada. Then we'll see things correctly. Okay? Yes.
When I hear from you, it seems very inspiring, but when I try to do even a small activity related to devotional service, like,
when you hear from me, it's very inspiring, but
it is very difficult to go out and preach.
Very difficult to go out and preach?
I find myself incapable to do anything.
That's all right. It's difficult. Any new thing is difficult in the beginning. You just have to go, by practice it becomes easy. You have to understand it is you understand that people need to hear about Krishna. You also understand you need to follow Lord Chaitanya's order to preach. For your own Krishna consciousness, you need to preach. They need to hear it. So you need it and they need it, so why not do it? So once you take every opportunity to tell people about Krishna, once you be very eager to propagate Krishna consciousness. In the beginning it is difficult when you're not used to it. But if you go out and you practice, you'll become talented and become expert in due course of time. Anything new, it's difficult. You want to learn how to play the piano? It's difficult. But by practice you become expert, isn't it? Or Madanga, that's a better example for devotees. may be difficult in the beginning to play madanga, but if you practice, you become very expert madanga player. So the same way, if you practice preaching, you'll become very expert in due course of time. Yes. Yes, it is difficult. The modes are very difficult to overcome. It's a fact. But for those who take shelter of this, it's a vast ocean. You see. But one who takes shelter of Krishna, one can cross over that ocean. You have to take shelter of Krishna. And then the very difficult ocean of Kali, especially now, it's so heavy. The Kali Yuga. So heavy, unbelievably heavy, everywhere. But if we take shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, the Vaishnavas, our Guru Maharajas, if we take shelter of that boat, we can easily cross over this ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of the human beings. That's why we have a morning program. It's the taking shelter of that boat. Everyone should sing Nirvastakam prayers every day. Do you know what the ninth Nirvastakam prayer? There's eight prayers. You know what the ninth one says? The ninth prayer in Nirvastakam says anybody who will chant these eight prayers during the Brahma Muhurta hour will receive the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna in the spiritual world upon leaving his present body. Just by singing Nirvastakam every day, when you go to sleep, you'll wake up in the pastimes of Krishna. So if we take shelter of this morning program, like here, so many devotees just come for this. They don't come for the Gurvastakam prayers, but everybody should come to the Gurvastakam prayers at the Samadhi at 4:10. Every devotee should come. Otherwise, you're missing that benediction. Prabhupada taught us to sing this every day. How devotees cannot go to the Samadhi for Mangalarti? It's unthinkable. I wouldn't dream of not going to the Samadhi for Mangalarti. I wouldn't dream of it. By taking this process that Prabhupada has given, Gravastakam prayers, Tulsi worship, Japa, Bhagavatam, take the standard program that Prabhupada has given, preaching, you know, Krishna conscious household life, sannyas life, brahmachari life, whatever your order is, take the Prabhupada's orders as your life and soul. And you'll be on that boat. And you'll be able to cross over this difficult ocean of Kali. So our time is up and we have 20 seconds left. So we might as well end a little bit early tonight so we can get a head start on our next activities. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi. Thank you very much.